You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line with Noah Gardner on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central, Alabama. I would say happy Friday, but for a lot of folks in town, it has not been a happy Friday. And yes, I mean the SEC tournament. I'm here with you just for the full 2 hours today, 2 to 4 p.m. It's just me in the studio as Jacob Goins is doing play-by-play for Auburn High School baseball as the Auburn High Tigers are taking on West Point currently right now on sister station 96.3 W. Lee. If you want to go check that out, of course, you can keep up with all of the action on 96.3 W. Lee. But I'll be here with you from 2 to 4 p.m. We'll be breaking down all of the happenings in the SEC tournament, not just last night, but the debacle earlier today in the SEC tournament for the Auburn Tigers, 67-62 loss to Texas A&M. Who, I'm going to be honest, while I am, like many an Auburn fan, disappointed about what happened from an Auburn perspective, good for A&M. I think they just punched the SEC seventh ticket to the NCAA tournament. If they hold this team out, it will be absolutely ridiculous. And we'll talk about all of the different bubble scenarios in the NCAA tournament. Georgia let go of Tom Crean. We'll get you set for SEC baseball's last non-conference series before conference play begins a week from today. And once again, as I said, we'll be talking about the SEC tournament because I am the lone man in the studio, one-man band today, working today because of spring break and whatnot. We will be taking your calls, but we'll be taking them to the commercial breaks, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. That is the time to call during our commercial breaks. But let me tell you, I do want to hear about your heartbreak. I do want to hear about your thoughts on this game. I want to know about your frustrations. And I'm going to get into this game right now. Texas A&M takes down Auburn 67-62. About the six-minute mark of the second half, or 6 minutes left in the second half, Auburn made their surge, but was never quite able to overcome what was at one point at its largest, a 20-point deficit for the Auburn Tigers. At its simplest form today, the reason why Auburn lost, if you want my one-take reason why Auburn lost today, it's the backcourt. The guards doomed them. As they have in all five of Auburn's losses this year, the guards doomed them. Outside of Wendell Green Jr., who really came on late, his stat line looks a lot better. Really, I would say Wendell didn't start playing well until the last 6 minutes of the game. But outside of Wendell Green Jr., the guards went 4-for-31 from the floor. They made 4 shots on 31 attempts. Including Wendell Green, it was still just 9-for-42. So it wasn't anything special. You look at the turnovers for Auburn, the assist-to-turnover ratio was 1-to-1. They had 11 assists to 9 turnovers, or it was about 1-to-1. 11 assists isn't enough for this Auburn basketball team. This team is vastly more successful when they're moving the basketball around. They didn't do a good job of that today. I don't think Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith were as much of a factor as they could have been. And once again, that falls on the backcourt, not on those two guys. I've talked about in the past what could potentially be an issue for an Auburn basketball team. And I said about a week ago that I would hate to see this team play someone that presses full court. And that was after the A&M game back in Auburn Arena. And A&M changed how they guarded Auburn today. They started doubling off of every single screen. They hedged every single screen, brought up high ball pressure beyond the three-point line. They were swarming Auburn guards because they've seen it on film. Everybody's put it on film. Auburn's guards can't handle the heat. And I said I wouldn't panic until I saw the SEC tournament. I defended Auburn for a very long time. Over the negativity of the month of February and the first week of March, in the regular season, I defended Auburn. I didn't say they were above reproach. They definitely had issues they needed to fix. We brought all those up. Now I'm worried. And I said if they play bad in the SEC tournament, then I would start to worry. Now I'm worried. You lose in the first round of the SEC tournament. I don't care what the score was, 67-62. Sure, they brought it back. It was ugly until the last 5 minutes of the game. And the only reason why it was brought back to five was A&M, still not a gifted offensive team in this league, by the way, started turning the ball over left and right and just couldn't close the game away. They had a couple of opportunities to where it could have been a dagger. And they finally got the dagger on a Jackson dunk, a Quentin Jackson dunk, late in the game to put them up by seven with about a minute left. That was the dagger. But Auburn dug this hole for themselves with their play. And it is mind-boggling to me that Auburn has not adjusted and that the players, I think this is on the players. This is execution. Sometimes you have that tension between, is it execution from a player standpoint, or do you go and look at the coaches, how are they managing this team? And it might be a little bit of both, and I don't like to come down on players. But nothing's changing. Nothing's changing with the way that these guards are approaching the game. And they're too talented. I really do like this backcourt, and I like their talent, but they are not adjusting their game. They're taking a lot of poor shots. KD Johnson set a record today for most misses by an SEC player without a make. He went 0-14. And every single time he's trying to shoot through it, he's trying to battle his way through it. And every time it felt like it was a worse and worse shot. This team didn't adjust. They just kept digging the hole. And eventually, when they hit rock bottom, they had to find a way to climb out. They almost did. And that shows you how talented this team is that they still, it took, once again, every fiber of Texas A&M's being to close this game out against Auburn. That's why you can still spin this optimistically and say, look, you know this is one of the most talented teams in the country. Now it's just a fresh slate. Well, guess what? Auburn has at least one more game. And I imagine Auburn's going to win their NCAA tournament game in the first round. They're going to be playing a 15 seed because guess what? The ship has sailed on Auburn being a 1 seed. That's not going to happen. Auburn is not a 1 seed. Auburn is a 2 seed, and I believe they should be a 2 seed. They're lucky they haven't been playing like this for more than a month because it could have slid them down another line the way that Auburn's playing away from home. This team is still barely rolling into the station of the NCAA tournament, and I thought they were going to turn it around on a neutral floor. I thought their talent was going to help them win out over some of these inferior teams. I thought their talent was going to eventually play the way it should, but now it is time to worry. Now it is time, I wouldn't say panic, but now it is time to worry. I don't think anybody should ever panic about sports. That's ridiculous. But it is time, I think, to look at this Auburn team and say, this is not a national championship contender. I will go that far. The way they are playing right now, they are not a national championship contender. Jimmy Dyke said on the broadcast today that the last time a team that did not make the semifinals of their conference tournament, a 1 seed in their conference tournament, the last time that someone did not make the semifinals and still won the national championship, 1985. It has been that long. 40 years. So don't come at me and tell me that Auburn, me saying that Auburn may not be a national championship contender, don't tell me that's outlandish. With the way Auburn's playing right now, and history has told us, once again, no team has won the national championship since 1985 that hadn't gone to at least the semifinals of their conference tournament. That's what I heard on the broadcast today. Now, I haven't had time to go and fact check it over the last hour, but that's what Jimmy Dyke said today from ESPN's Stats and Information Department. So unless Auburn's about to do something that is statistically an anomaly, things are going to have to change really quickly for this team in March. We know they are talented enough in that when Auburn plays to their best when Auburn plays the game of basketball the right way. We know they're capable of winning the national championship. I'm not saying they're not talented enough to win a national championship. I'm just saying the way that they're playing right now, and it's not hard to see that. The way that they're playing right now is not capable of winning a national championship. And I discussed this over a month and a half. I discussed this over a month and a half ago, and I was talking about this team and how there were some issues that when I compared them to the previous 6-7 national champions, if you go and look at the last 6-7 national champions and you start drawing out common denominators for teams that are capable of winning a national championship and what all of those teams had in common on their national championship runs, they were efficient offensive teams. I would argue they were top-tier efficient offensive teams in college basketball. They were some of the best. I would add to it that they were... they didn't turn the basketball over. I would add to it that they didn't turn the basketball over. They played solid defense, but they weren't built around defense. And then the most important, I think, is that they had strong guard play. And Auburn's guard play right now is not where it needs to be at the current moment. Once again, I go back to they were 9 for 42 from the field, Auburn's guards were. And without Wendell Green, they would have been 4 for 31, which is absolutely ridiculous. So when you break it down for Auburn right now, they've got a big, they've got a conglomeration of issues at the moment that doesn't quite resemble what previous national champions look like. They're not overly efficient on offense. They shoot the basketball about in the middle of the pack of the SEC. They're one of the poor three-point shooting teams in the league, so they're not hitting their shots. They do have spurts where they turn the basketball over way too much. Today, that wasn't a problem, but they do have those spurts. They play elite defense, but you don't need elite defense to win a national championship in basketball. You need good defense. But what I would argue is more important in college basketball, just based off of history, is that you need to be hitting your shots. And Auburn's not hitting shots right now. And then lastly, it's guard play. And Auburn's guards are not good enough to win a national championship right now with the way that they're playing. I don't want people to think that I'm dogging Auburn right now. I'm laying out factual information. And it is time, if you think, I don't know even in my own bracket if I could pick Auburn to go to the national championship. I picked Auburn to win the SEC tournament. They couldn't get out of their first game against an 8 seed that's not even that gifted on the offensive end of the floor. So I know it sounds like I'm railing on Auburn right now, but today was bad. Today was ugly. It was disastrous. It was a debacle. And I said over a week ago when Jacob and I were talking about this, Jacob went so far as to say that if they lost to Tennessee on the road, he didn't think that this team was capable of winning a national championship. I said, well, let's at least wait and see what they look like in the SEC tournament. And today, they were poor. They were very poor. Auburn loses to A&M 67-62 in the first round of the SEC tournament, or the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament, their first game. We'll be taking your calls during the commercial breaks today. If you want to hear from us, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. That will put you through to us here for the Friday edition of On the Line. If you want to talk to us, once again, call in during the commercial break. We want to hear about your frustrations. We want to hear about your thoughts right now, but I don't think it's an overreaction at this point to say that this Auburn basketball team may very well struggle their way into the Elite Eight or the Final Four. Who have they beaten that is an Elite Eight, Sweet 16 caliber team down the stretch over the last month and a half? They couldn't even get out of the quarterfinals today in the SEC tournament. I don't think it's that far of a stretch. And Auburn fans don't want to hear that, but I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you what I think. I'm here to tell you honest, unbiased opinion on Auburn basketball right now. And what I think about it is that they are lacking, right now with the way that they're playing, they are lacking a lot of things needed to go deep in the NCAA tournament right now. I think they can get to the second weekend. I need to see what the matchup looks like for them in the second round. I need to see what potential 7 or 10 seed they could be playing. But Indiana's in a position, you know, you could get a team like Indiana out of the Big Ten that could be a 10 seed or a 7 seed. You could get somebody like that out of the Big Ten that is used to beating. I mean, Indiana just beat Illinois today in the Big Ten tournament. You could get somebody like that or a Rutgers. Rutgers is probably going to be a 10 seed. Somebody that has beaten teams like Purdue, Wisconsin, ranked teams over the last month. You could get somebody like that in your second round. They're not afraid of you, and they have no reason to be afraid of you. I don't think it's a stretch. If you've been on social media over the last month, some people have gotten really angry about this, saying, well, Auburn may not even make it to the Sweet 16. Some people have gotten kind of irritated about that. But the reality is, I do need to see the bracket. If Auburn catches a 7 or a 10 in the wrong 7 or 10 that's from like the Big East or the Big Ten, if this team plays like this. Because they just lost to a team that is going to be playing as a 12 seed more than likely in the NCAA tournament in the first four. Theoretically, they lost to a worse team today, and they have lost to worse teams than they could face in the second round. So it's reality time, and I'm just laying it all out there. The reality of it is Auburn's not playing well right now, and they need to be playing their best basketball, but it may be real that Auburn peaked way too early, entirely too early this season, which is crazy. This would be the ultimate Auburn thing to do, that Auburn would have one of their best teams all time, one of their best records all time, and then fall apart completely at the end. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Today's loss, extremely ugly, 67-62. They fall to Texas A&M in the SEC Tournament quarterfinal. We're going to be taking your calls during the commercial breaks, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Looking at the box score statistics for Auburn, Texas A&M. Still talking about Auburn here. I brought up the statistic on Auburn's guards as a group, 4-for-31 today outside of Wendell Green Jr., including Wendell Green Jr.'s stat line. They were 9-for-42, so not much better, still awful. Wendell's stat line, I think, is a little deceiving because he got hot down the stretch and started spraying down those threes from the parking lot, which was really funny. You were rooting for it, but we all know those aren't good shots. And just as easily as he made two or three in a row down the stretch to get Auburn back into the game, guess what? Auburn's guards taking those shots through the first 35 minutes of the game is why Auburn was down by 20 at one point. Auburn taking bad shots is why Auburn was down by that much. Still a good effort out of Auburn down the stretch, and this team will never quit, which is a great quality to have. They will never quit. They will fight to the end. But at the end of the day, talent isn't just going to win you games, and they've got to realize that. You can't just strong-arm your way to a win. They're going to have to adjust. And now Auburn's going to have a serious break. They have a week until they play again. They're either going to play on Thursday or Friday. We're going to find out Selection Sunday. I also hope this didn't ruin things for Auburn to be able to go to Greenville, South Carolina, where they could have a real, true home environment over those first two games. This may have affected where Auburn's going to be playing in their first and second-round matchup. That's how significant this loss was. What if this throws Auburn out of Greenville, South Carolina, and they have to travel across the country to go somewhere? What if that happens? I mean, today's loss was significant for more reasons than just one. Still looking at some of the box score statistics. Three guys hit double figures, 15 for Wendell Green, 16 for Walker Kessler, and Jabari Smith had the team high at 17. Walker had 16-9 with 3 steals and 4 blocks. Jabari Smith had 17-9 with 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks as well. Jabari, I thought, was good today, but at some point when you're feeding the guy the basketball over and over again, and that's my problem with everybody saying, well, maybe we just need to force feed Jabari Smith more. Maybe we just need to focus on Jabari more and getting him those shots. No, it's not about that. How about we uphold the standard at guard and try and make sure these guys are actually playing the way that they need to be playing for this team to be successful? Because I'll tell you this, Damian Fishback said this the other day when they were asking him on the broadcast he was on the call for the first two games of the tournament, and they were talking about Auburn at one point. I think it was during the Georgia Vanderbilt game, and they asked him the question, you know, when is Auburn at its best? Is it with Jabari Smith, you know, being the centerpiece, or is it with it being balanced? And he said it's when Auburn's being balanced, and I agree with that 100%. You don't need Jabari Smith scoring 25 points. When Auburn was at its best this year, Jabari Smith was averaging 15 points per game. Jabari Smith didn't just start dropping 25 points until Auburn really started struggling. And that's not a Jabari being selfish thing. That's the players and the coaching staff are putting a lot on Jabari right now because none of the other stuff is working. But the reality is the guards need to step it up. If the guards don't step it up, Auburn's going home, and they're going home after the second game of the NCAA tournament. And that is not a stretch anymore. That is a reality because you just saw what happened today. And if you think that this team's just going to somehow find a way to make it to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8, newsflash, that doesn't happen in March because there are other teams like Texas A&M that are going to be hungry, looking to do damage. And when they watch film, they're going to be able to think things. People aren't afraid of Auburn. When they watch film on Auburn, they are going to see that team's beatable because other teams have done it. Let's take a quick break here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We'll keep talking SEC tournament and Auburn's loss to Texas A&M when we come back. Friday edition of On the Line. Noah Gardner with you on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Sad day for Auburn basketball out there. 67-62 loss to Texas A&M. And I'll be honest, I said a couple of weeks ago that I was going to wait to be concerned, that I was going to wait to worry, if I'm going to worry at all, until the SEC tournament, until I saw this team play. And it was ugly today. Don't tell me that you thought it wasn't that bad because Auburn lost by five. Let's just be real. 35 minutes of this game was atrocious. It was an atrocity to basketball. It was that bad. Currently looking at the SEC tournament action going on right now in the quarterfinals. Five seed LSU up on Arkansas, who hasn't gotten a field goal in 7 minutes. They're up 20-18 right now with 4:35 left in the first half. Arkansas started out hot, but since then, they have cooled off, and LSU's defense has dug in. We're taking your calls during the commercial breaks, 334-321-1390. We're toll-free at 888-382-7502. We've got two pairs of Auburn baseball tickets that I'm giving away on the show today to the Sunday game in Auburn's non-conference series against Middle Tennessee State this weekend. Once again, if you want to win one of those pairs of tickets, call in during the commercial break. And stick with us for the next segment to give us your thoughts on this Auburn basketball team or anything else going on in the sports world. We got two pairs of tickets. They're going to the first two callers on today's show during the commercial breaks, so stay tuned for that. We're only giving away one pair right now. We'll give away a second pair later on in the show. First pair will be up for grabs starting this next commercial break coming up in 4 minutes. First caller will be able to get those tickets. Auburn, MTSU this weekend, 2 p.m., first pitch on Sunday. But going back to Auburn, Texas A&M, Auburn losing 67-62. Score is deceiving. A&M controlled this game from start to finish. Auburn doomed themselves with their guard play. It's that simple. You can't win in March with your guard shooting a combined 9-for-42. Outside of Wendell Green, it was 4-for-31. As if that statistic couldn't get uglier. You really can't have one player go 0-for-14 and set a record for most misses in SEC history without a make. You can't do that. And that happened today. That was KD Johnson, who went 0-for-14, was 0-for-6 from 3. Auburn just looked like, for 30 minutes of this game, 35 minutes of this game, that they were forcing it. They were trying to figure out, but they couldn't. Kept shacking up threes like they shouldn't. They took 36 threes today. I'm waiting for Auburn to turn their jersey inside out and reveal that it was actually Alabama playing today. They were 9-for-36 from three. You can't miss 27 threes. Look across the state. That's why Alabama lost yesterday. It's like Alabama stayed an extra day to ruin Auburn in the SEC tournament. I mean, this is bad. Auburn shot 30% as a team. Go inside. Auburn would have been 12-for-33 inside the arc, which isn't much better. But Walker Kessler was pretty good today. 6-for-8, had 16 points, 9 rebounds, only fouled twice, 4 blocks, 3 steals. This man's playing with a shoulder brace. If one of my bigs is 6-for-8, I'm giving him the basketball, especially when you have the size advantage that Auburn had on Texas A&M. Why are we shooting 36 threes? Auburn has to look in the mirror right now, before the NCAA tournament starts, they have to look in the mirror. And they have to realize this is a me problem. At some point, it's your fault, and you have to take accountability. You have to take responsibility for how you're playing. Yes, A&M's press had a little bit to do with it. Yes, A&M hedging every screen, doubling off of every screen, swarming Auburn's guards. Yes, that has something to do with it. We see teams guard Auburn this way. That is on the scouting report. But now it's time to adjust. If you want to win a national championship, you've got to find a way. You've already cost yourself one trophy. Don't cost yourself your best shot at another one. There's many people that have never seen Auburn basketball and would like to see Auburn basketball win a national championship in their lifetime. And undeniably, this is the closest that many generations have seen to this point as far as talent being able to get there. But their play right now does not resemble a team that will easily get to the Sweet 16. I got to see the bracket first, what 7 or 10 seed that they get. But I'm going to be real. If they get a Rutgers or someone from the Big East that's used to playing teams like Auburn, that's used to playing physical games, that can slow down, grind you out, play strong defense, rebound, limit possessions, I wouldn't be shocked if Auburn lost in the second round if they do what they did today. Auburn could have lost to anybody today, other than maybe Georgia. And we already saw that they almost lost to Georgia in Athens, so don't tell me that that's not possible either. 67-62, Auburn loses to Texas A&M. It was that bad. We're taking your calls during the commercial breaks, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. A reminder right here before we go to break, phone lines are open. We're giving away a pair of tickets to Auburn baseball's game against Middle Tennessee State. We'll leave them here for you if you want to come and pick them up. Sunday, that's the game that we're giving away for 2 p.m. We've got one pair right here ready to give away. If you want it, call in during this commercial break, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Looking forward to your calls here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Into the Friday edition of On the Line. Noah Gardner with you for the entire show today. Jacob Goins on our sister station, 96.3 WLE, calling Auburn High School baseball. If you're interested in the score there, you can flip over 96.3 WLE, as well as 4 to 6. Follow me today. You got The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. They'll be talking about today's tournament action. Auburn loses to Texas A&M 67-62. One-day trip to Tampa. I wonder how many people are going to stick around, because they were talking on the SEC Network the other day that Auburn had bought the most tickets out of anybody else, out of any other team in the SEC tournament. Well, all that's gone to waste now. Losing to A&M by 5. Auburn, early exit. Right now, 22.7 seconds left in the first half. 5-seed LSU up on 4-seed Arkansas in a rock fight, 26-24, as these two teams just throwing up bricks, building a house there in Tampa, right there in Amalie Arena. We'll talk a little bit about yesterday's action as well as other stuff going on in the world of sports. Auburn baseball begins a series with Middle Tennessee State this weekend. We'll get you ready for this weekend with SEC baseball. It's the last non-conference series before conference play begins a week from today. In Auburn's case, they start on a Thursday. They'll have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series with Ole Miss. I'm giving away a pair of tickets to the first caller during our next commercial break, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Those tickets are still up for grabs. We want to hear from you, your thoughts on the SEC tournament today or anything else going on. I'm going to switch away from this Auburn-Texas A&M game for a little bit, and we'll go up and down the scoreboard today in college basketball, keep you up to date with all of the big happenings and maybe some significant results that have occurred today around the country in conference tournament play. And the two significant ones, obviously, have to do with Indiana and Texas A&M winning today and knocking off respective one seeds in their quarterfinal matchups in their conference tournaments. Illinois goes down at the hands of Indiana, and Texas A&M knocks off Auburn. Those two right there are probably the most significant for the bubble in the NCAA tournament right now. Joe Lunardi described, and this is what I was talking about on the show yesterday with Jacob Goins. Joe Lunardi said earlier today that there were about three spots up for grabs on the bubble right now. When you look at the bubble, the two main spots that I think you would say are up for grabs are Wake Forest and Xavier. Those two spots, those two teams can't do anything to better their situation, can't do anything to better their resume because they lost in their first game of their respective tournaments, and to bad teams, might I add. Xavier has lost 8 of their last 10 games. They got knocked off by a bad Butler team in the Big East tournament. That doesn't sound like a tournament team right now. I'm going to be real. They're 3 games below 500 in the Big East. I don't think Xavier should make the NCAA tournament over a Texas A&M or an Indiana. Now, I said on yesterday's show that I thought Indiana's win over Michigan moved them into the last 4-in spot on the bubble, and that did end up happening. Joe Lunardi moved them there. Them beating Illinois today, tickets are punched. So there's one last bubble spot there. The other two that you're looking at are Xavier and Wake Forest. Wake Forest loses to Boston College a couple of days ago. Their best win in non-conference play was a 3-win Oregon State this year, one of the worst teams in basketball, in Power 5 basketball at least. Somehow they're worse than Georgia. I would have loved to have seen those two teams play. Maybe we should create an NCAA tournament for the worst teams in basketball. That would be funny. They also beat Northwestern. Also, not a good win. They were one of the bottom 4 teams of the Big Ten this past year. So Wake Forest, their best wins, Notre Dame and North Carolina, which North Carolina is looking great right now, but at the time that they played them, that North Carolina team, not the same. Not the same at all. Much worse back then when they played in late January, early February. And Notre Dame's a decent win, but they're on the bubble too. They're one of the last 4 byes, according to Joe Lunardi. So their best win is somebody on the last 4 byes. Other than that, they've got bad losses to Louisville, to Syracuse, to Boston College. You look at Texas A&M, sure, they had a rough stretch in the middle of SEC play, but you look at how they're playing here during February and March, and A&M beating Auburn. A&M's a tournament team, man. I would take them over Wake Forest right now. They've won 22 games. I think A&M punched their tickets today as well, and I would much rather have teams that have played in really difficult conferences in the NCAA tournament rather than have two teams that have struggled against so-so competition and aren't playing their best basketball right now. So I think that's how the bracketology has changed today with those two major results on the college basketball scoreboard. Looking at the bubble right now from Joe Lunardi coming into today, his last 4-in was Wyoming, Wake Forest, Xavier, and Indiana. And I think the 3 spots on the bubble now that are up for grabs still, I think that's Wyoming, Wake Forest, and Xavier. And honestly, A&M being next 4 outs, ridiculous. A&M, in my mind, is in the field. I would say with the win today over Auburn, that team's going dancing. So maybe there's 2 bubble spots left. And as Wyoming continues to win, and while they haven't been overly impressive in the month of February either or going into their conference tournament, if they can win another game in their conference tournament, they're probably in as well. They just need to hold serve. So A&M's in, takes one of the spots from Xavier or Wake Forest. Now there's 2 other spots to look at there. Who could it be? Oklahoma came crashing in with the win over Baylor yesterday. Virginia Tech with the win over Notre Dame has kept their hopes alive. Dayton has a pretty solid record out of the A-10, but they're not going to get any significant wins out of their conference tournament. And then SMU still alive in the American Athletic Conference tournament. But none of those teams, an SMU or a Dayton, really holds as much weight to me, once again, as maybe what Oklahoma and Virginia Tech are doing if they continue to win. And right now, on ESPN in the studio, bringing up tonight's game, Virginia Tech against North Carolina. If Virginia Tech beats North Carolina, that's a great win, and I think that could throw them onto the bubble, as well as if Oklahoma can continue to pull upset after upset at the Big 12 tournament. But I think A&M has done enough to get into the field, and so that's my current look at the NCAA tournament picture after some things have changed today on the scoreboard. I would say that Auburn is for sure now a 2 seed. I don't see Auburn getting a 1 seed. This may have opened the door for the Big 12 to potentially get 2-1 seeds, whether it be Baylor and Kansas. I know Baylor lost yesterday, but Joe Lenardi still had them on the one line coming into today after the loss. And if Auburn had won, then it was very possible that it could have been Auburn if they had kept winning, right? And maybe all they needed was one or two more wins to make the SEC Tournament Championship. And assuming that it was an Auburn-Kentucky SEC Tournament Championship, you would assume that the winner of those two would be the one seed. But say now that Auburn has been upset. What if Scottie Pippen Jr. goes off tonight and Kentucky gets upset and both of those teams don't even make it to the semifinals of the SEC Tournament? I don't think the SEC gets a one seed. And then you've got Baylor and Kansas holding on to it. That's what's at stake tonight in the Kentucky-Vanderbilt game. So that's kind of the look right now at Bracketology after some takes there on everything going on in the conference tournament picture. Some other results, we'll look around the scoreboard today. Currently, right now, live at halftime, LSU and Arkansas. That's the 5-4 matchup. Arkansas was able to close out the half strong after going about 10-12 minutes of pretty cold basketball after they started the game hot. It's been kind of back and forth there in Tampa. Arkansas right now up on LSU 29-26 at the half. Moving over to the Big Ten, Iowa, Rutgers. Iowa right now, one of the hottest teams in the Big Ten. They're up by 12 on Rutgers at the moment, 57-45, looking to get their 24th win of the season. I said a couple of weeks ago, and people scoffed at me when I said that Iowa could be a sneaky team in the NCAA tournament, especially if they continue to score the basketball like they are. Yeah, they're showing that right now with the teams that they're beating in the Big Ten on a regular basis. Of course, looking at results from earlier today that have already concluded, Indiana, I already mentioned, beat Illinois. I think that punches their tickets to the NCAA tournament. Houston took down Cincinnati 69-56. That was a bounce-back win for Houston, who fell behind at halftime 32-27. They outscored Cincinnati by 18 in the second half. Conference USA semifinal, Louisiana Tech beat North Texas. That looks like a football score, 42-36. Once again, another rock fight there out of the Conference USA, and right now, Marshall and UAB doing battle in the Conference USA to see who will be moving on to the UAB and Middle Tennessee right now doing battle in the Conference USA semifinal to see who will be moving on to the championship. Middle Tennessee up 28-25 right now on Andy Kennedy's squad from right down the road in Birmingham. 3:48 left in the first half. Still looking around at some other scores. Davidson holds serve without their so there's no. Right now, a bid stealer has not come out of the A-10. Right now, Davidson holds serve to potentially be the AQ team out of the Atlantic 10. Davidson up 74-56, beat Fordham. If Davidson wins the A-10, that's going to continue to keep the bubble where it's at right now without the threat of someone else stealing a bid that wouldn't have made the tournament anyway. Davidson's probably a tournament team even if they don't win the A-10. That's what I mean by a bid stealer. Looking at the schedule for the rest of the day in the conference tournaments, Mississippi State, Tennessee is the next game after LSU, Arkansas. That's set for 5 p.m. on SEC Network. The other game in the SEC tonight, of course, is Vanderbilt and Kentucky at 7 on SEC Network. ACC tournament action, Miami and Duke. These two teams met in the regular season, and Miami upset Duke in one of their meetings. That game's at 6 on ESPN. And then the late game in the ACC tournament, 8:30 on ESPN, Virginia Tech and North Carolina's. Virginia Tech looks to keep trying to play their way into the NCAA tournament. Big 12 tournament action, TCU and Kansas at 6 on ESPN2. This will be the third time these two teams will have played in the last week. Awfully familiar with each other, and Kansas won the last one close. And then two times ago, TCU upset Kansas. Kansas favored by 8 in that game in the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament. The other semifinal in the Big 12 tournament tonight, Oklahoma against Texas Tech. Can Oklahoma get this win over Texas Tech? And a win over Texas Tech in the semifinals, advancing to the championship, may very well be enough for Oklahoma to get into the NCAA tournament. And then our last two major tournaments to look at here before we go to break. Big East tournament semifinal, Creighton and number 11 Providence, 5:30 on FS1. And then the last game of the evening in the Big East, UConn and Villanova. That's two top 20 teams there, one top 10 team. The Big East has kind of been a quiet tournament this week. And then the Big Ten tournament today, 5:30 on Big Ten Network, Michigan State and Wisconsin in a quarterfinal. And then later on in the evening, somehow Penn State still playing after they upset Ohio State yesterday. They play Purdue in the quarterfinals. Let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will wrap up hour number one, talk about everything going on in the SEC tournament. We'll go back to talking Auburn basketball, maybe get into a little bit about the Tom Crean situation with Georgia, letting him go. We're taking your calls once again, 334-321-1390. We're toll-free at 888-382-7502. We are taking your calls, and we're giving away a pair of Auburn baseball tickets to the Middle Tennessee State Series this weekend, the Sunday game. The first call in this commercial break will get their hands on this pair of tickets. Once again, the number to call, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Last segment of hour number one on the Friday edition of On the Line, Friday, March 11th. To all you guys out there listening on the podcast, we salute you in the future. Maybe somebody else has lost in the SEC tournament to make this pain not feel so bad. The other day on SEC Network, Pat Bradley, the shooter from Arkansas, said that he would not be surprised if three of the top four seeds were upset today. And I scoffed. I was like, no way that's happening. And the first domino has already fell. I said that yesterday, too, on the show. I said I would be completely floored if that happened. Reality is, one team's already gone down. Arkansas is being pushed by LSU right now. That would be two of the three. Could Mississippi State upset a Tennessee, or could Kentucky lose to Vanderbilt? I'm going to tell you, I'm probably rooting for Pat Bradley's scenario here now, to where I don't feel as bad about today. Auburn losing to Texas A&M 67-62. We're taking your calls about that during the commercial breaks. I'm the lone man in the studio today. Spring break coming to a close. I have a good friend of mine in the studio as well, Knox Newland, with me today. I'm happy to have him in the studio, just giving a shout-out to him and his family. Really enjoying his company today in the studio, getting to show him the ropes, getting to show him around the station. That's been a good time, and as well as we're talking all things sports here in the studio. So if anybody wants to call in, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. We want to hear from you during the commercial breaks. I'm giving away a pair of Auburn baseball tickets. I'm telling you, MTSU, Middle Tennessee State this weekend, coming to town. Sunday series game, 2 o'clock p.m., first pitch. If you want these pair of tickets, call in during the commercial break. They're up for grabs. We're taking your calls, once again, during the commercial break period. Looking at some of the scoreboard of everything going on right now in conference tournament action. LSU and Arkansas, it's 29-26 at halftime in favor of the Razorbacks. Iowa has further extended their lead over Rutgers. They're up 65-49 in the Big Ten tournament on Big Ten Network. St. Louis up on St. Bonaventure in the Atlantic 10 quarterfinals, 33-32. If one of those teams wins their conference tournament, if one of those teams wins the A-10, I think that would be a bid stealer and would be significant for the bubble, because neither of those teams currently are in the field, according to Joe Lenardi. Davidson, I think, would make the NCAA tournament regardless of whether or not they win the A-10 or not. They could be as high as a 10 seed at large bid. And the A-10, I mean, look, the top team in the A-10, if you go 26 or 27 wins, which is what Davidson has done this year, I'm not going to fault them for not winning the conference tournament. It's hard to do that. I think they should be in the dance. I think they're one of the top 68 teams in the country. But if one of these teams ends up stealing a bid, that makes the bubble even smaller and raises the stakes for teams right now trying to play their way in and surging from on the outside. Conference USA tournament action semifinal, UAB in front of Middle Tennessee, 35-31. I would love to see UAB playing in March. You look at the upsets that they made over the last decade in the NCAA tournament, back when I was in high school. I'm talking about over 10 years ago, when they were like a 14 seed. I want to see these guys playing in March again. It would be so much fun. Andy Kennedy's got a great squad, and I think he's having the time of his life in Birmingham right now, coaching his alma mater. We got about 4 minutes here left in the first hour of the Friday edition of the show, and we're going to talk about Auburn A&M again and the significance of this result. 67-62, I think this punched the ticket for Texas A&M to make it to the NCAA tournament over a Wake Forest or an Xavier right now that are sitting on the bubble. So that'll be an exciting thing to look at there, to see if Texas A&M has done enough to make it to the dance and to keep up with that moving forward throughout conference tournament action, about whether or not Oklahoma's going to get in, or if it's going to be if Wake Forest or Xavier can hold on. Indiana winning today over Illinois did a lot of damage for the NCAA tournament bubble look. So there's some interesting results right now going on in conference tournament action in the SEC tournament quarterfinals. A&M beating Auburn 67-62. It was the backcourt for Auburn that doomed the Tigers. The backcourt went 4-for-31 outside of Wendell Green Jr. stat line. Wendell Green went 9 for with Wendell Green's stat line, the backcourt would have been 9-for-42 from the floor. You look at some of these stat lines. Katie Johnson was 0-for-14, had 3 turnovers, 2 personal fouls. That's 6 boards, but no assists. 0 assists, 3 turnovers, was 0-for-14 from the floor. Literally zero help whatsoever on offense. Zepp Jasper was 2-for-8. That's a tough performance from a scoring perspective. Had just 1 assist to 1 turnover. Not exactly what you're looking for from your starting point guard. Al Flanagan was 2-for-5, 0-for-2 from 3, 1-for-4 from the charity stripe. I think Auburn was less than optimal at the free throw line today, was 11-for-18 there. He had just 5 points, 0 assist, and 1 turnover. Devin Cambridge was 0-for-3 and 0-for-2 from 3, had just 2 rebounds, and literally did not record another stat other than fouls. Wendell Green got hot over the last 6 minutes. He was 5-for-12 from the field, went 5-for-9 from 3. Once again, he was a big part of Auburn launching their comeback. But the 15 points, he fouled out, had 3 assists to 2 turnovers. He just didn't get enough out of the guards. That's why Auburn lost today. And if that doesn't change, they will lose in the NCAA tournament well before this team's talent indicates that they should lose in the NCAA tournament. This team should be a shoe-in to make it to the Elite Eight with how good that they are. But guess what? That's not the reality. They're not playing like that right now. Right now, there's serious question as to whether or not this team's playing in the second weekend. I'm serious. Some people may scoff at that. Some people may get irritated with me saying that. There is serious question. A&M coming into today wasn't even in the NCAA tournament, according to Joe Lenardi. This is a 12 seed more than likely. And they're tough, and maybe Auburn did just play bad today. Maybe today ends up being a fluke. But if Auburn plays like this again, you can't tell me they won't lose in the second round of the NCAA tournament. I got to see the bracket, but you can't tell me that they won't lose when they make it to the in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Honestly, if they play like this, if they shoot 30%, miss 26 threes, I wouldn't be shocked if a 15 seed pushed them. If they got the right 15 seed, I'm not going to go that far as to say that they'll lose or anything like that. And I imagine they won't play like this against a 15 seed. It should be hard to get things going against a 15 seed. But I do think the significance of this situation here is that Auburn lost their one seed today. I don't think there's much hope that Auburn can get onto the one line. Got a big hour number 2 planned for everybody. We'll be back with more coming at 3 p.m. You're listening to On the Line.
On the Line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Hour number 2 of On the Line. Noah Gardner with you in the studio for one more hour here before we get out of here for the weekend. Live on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. We're taking your calls during the commercial breaks. I'm the lone man in the studio working here today as it's spring break. People are getting out of town. People went to Tampa. Jacob Goins is doing Auburn High School baseball on 96.3 WLE. If you want to tune into that and see what the Auburn High Tigers, the top-ranked Auburn High Tigers, are doing, we've got that on 96.3 WLE. But I'm going to go to the phone lines now, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. And Ed won our pair of baseball tickets that we were giving away. Ed, how you doing today? It's good to hear from you.
I'm doing good, guy. I wouldn't say guys, but it's just you.
I know, right? That's right. All alone today.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great job. I just wanted to say, it's the same old thing. Like you said, guard play. And I was watching the game coming across half court. It got to the point you just want to tell anybody, just please, just shoot the ball. Because the more they pass, the more they messed up. and and could you give me real quick Alan Flanagan's stats on today?
He was 2 for 5, but I'll tell you, Alan Flanagan probably wasn't the worst guy today because Katie Johnson set a record for misses. But Alan Flanagan had 5 points. He was 2 for 5 from the field, 1 for 4 at the free throw line, 3 rebounds.
He did play. He played well. I'm not blaming it on him at all. But yeah, like you said, guards and Kessler hadn't been the same since whatever happened to his elbow. I don't know what, we went through all last football season not knowing about Owen Papo, So I don't know exactly what's wrong with his shoulder, but he's not. And it's kind of, like you said, they've got one more game, one more loss, and that's it. It's no more, what ifs. Well, that's all it'll be after that. It's what ifs. But anyway, guys, I'm heading over there to pick up those tickets. I thank you very much. And War Eagle.
Sounds good, Ed. War Eagle to you as well. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. That was Ed on the line with us here on the Friday edition of the show. And we have one more pair of tickets as well that we're going to be giving away today. Just one pair per winner. We got another pair that we're giving away here in hour number 2. And if you want to call in, if you're out there, you want a pair of tickets to the Sunday game against Middle Tennessee State, got a pair of tickets available, call in during the commercial break, 334-321-1390. One more pair to go here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. We'll start off hour number 2 with Making Headlines. Making Headlines. Let's just be real. The headline today is Auburn losing to Texas A&M 67-62. There's some other headlines going on, but the one that is going to resonate the most around Auburn, Alabama, is Auburn's loss to Texas A&M 67-62. And I'm going to paint it this way, and Ed kind of echoed a lot of the things that I was saying about this game. The reality is we've talked about this for months. I talked about Auburn's road woes before conference play even started because you could see it against USF, you could see it against St. Louis, you could see it against a smorgasbord of teams before it really got real in February. And everybody was just kind of like, it's going to be okay, they're going to work it out, there's no time to panic. And all I was saying, I was like, you're right, there's no time to panic, they just need to figure it out, right? Guess what? They still haven't figured it out. And I was defending Auburn a lot over the last 2 weeks because I said, look, guys, there's no time to worry, don't panic, just – let's just see how they do in a tournament setting. They get into a tournament setting, and this was a disaster. This was one of their worst performances that we have seen this season. And they lost by 5, I get it. And that was because they got really hot shooting the ball and started making circus shots down the stretch. They turned it on, and they started making them down the last 5 minutes. But before that, this was a disaster. They were losing by 20. It was downright a disaster. The guards went a combined 9 for 42 from the floor. That is less than 25%. If you take Wendell Green's stat line out of it, they were 4 for 31. That's worse than 25%. I haven't done the averages on that. Let's do some quick math. 4 divided by 31. That would be a whopping 13%. Auburn's guards outside of Wendell Green: Devin Cambridge, Alan Flanagan, KD Johnson, Zepp Jasper, went a whopping 13% shooting the basketball in this game. Yeah, that's how you lost. And I thought they were going to play better today, at least because it was A&M. I thought Auburn was going to win the SEC tournament. I picked up, man, I've got an egg on my face. I was wrong. And I'm going to go ahead and be real. This team, at the moment, with the way they're playing, and I need to qualify this for folks so that they understand what I'm saying here. Auburn's talent is good enough to win a national championship, but Auburn's play is not. Auburn's play does not match the talent on the roster. And I'm not going to say that they can't turn it around, that they can't get hot in the NCAA tournament, that they can't fix it. But watching the broadcast today, Jimmy Dykes offered up this information from ESPN Stats and Information Department, said that no team has won a national championship in college basketball that didn't make it at least to the semifinals of their conference tournament since 1985. It's been that long. So the odds are not in Auburn's favor, and I think that stat speaks a lot. That's interesting to think about because this is March. This is when you should be turning the corner. This should be when you're playing your best basketball. And so it would make sense that a team wouldn't have won a national championship since 1985 if they hadn't made it at least to the semifinals of their conference tournament. That makes sense. I still believe all the things that I said last week and the week before that about how this team has more solutions than everybody else. The problem is they're just not going to those solutions. They're playing. It's befuddling. It's mind-boggling. It's exasperating. We don't understand. They even said on the broadcast today, if you're watching on SEC Network, Carl Ravitch kept saying, why are they taking so many threes? Why will they not just work it inside? We're all asking ourselves that question. I said earlier in the show today, I was waiting for Auburn to turn their jerseys inside out and it's say Alabama because Auburn shot 36 threes and missed 27 of them. Yeah, they hit nine, but they shot 25% from three. Auburn lived by the three at times this year. They died by it today. They died by the three today. It was very Alabama-esque. It was bad. It was very bad today. Auburn played awful. And I know they still lost by five. That's what's crazy about all this. And that's why we can still be so optimistic about, oh, well, what if Auburn, you know, gets hot in the tournament still? And really, it could just be Auburn needs to play one game well in the tournament to start feeling good, right? It really could be that simple. Auburn losing by five today shows you how much talent that they have, that they could play, that they could have a disastrous performance, that they could shoot 30% from the field as a team. They could have a player go 0 for 14 and still only lose by five. That's what I've meant when I've said over the last couple weeks that it has taken every fiber of every team's being that has beaten Auburn, all five of those losses, it has taken every fiber of all of those teams' being to just beat Auburn when Auburn's been at their worst. So what is Auburn when they're at their best? Borderline unbeatable. I'm going to be real. If Auburn's at their best, they are borderline unbeatable. There are very few teams in the country that I would say could run with Auburn if Auburn was playing at their best. But the reality is Auburn played at their worst today. We just need to get Auburn at their average, and Auburn could make it to the Elite Eight. Or maybe even to a Final Four. We just need to get Auburn playing decent, and they could make a run. But the problem is, they step out on the floor and they decide, today's going to be a bad day. We're going to miss 27 threes. Doesn't make any sense. We're going to take and we're going to miss 27 threes. Outside of that, I thought Auburn put a lot of effort into the game. It was obvious. They didn't quit. They played hard. They tried to figure it out. You can see the looks on their faces, too. If you're watching the game on TV, you can see their faces. They're like they couldn't believe what was happening. They're like, what is going on? Like, why can't I make a shot type of thing? It's like, it's because you're forcing it. You're literally pressing the issue too much. Just let it happen, man. Let it be. Do your thing. You don't have to take 14 shots, man. You don't need to, you know, I think the microcosm of today was a fast break when KD Johnson went 1-on-4 and bricked a layup. That's the microcosm for the season right now. When Auburn's losing, why Auburn's being disappointing right now, but that can't be the story in March. Auburn is falling apart right now. They are losing as individuals rather than winning as a team. Plain and simple, they're not playing well as a team. It's been very individual driven. There's just a disconnect, it seems, between all five positions. And I don't know how you fix that going into March. Because like Ed pointed out and like I pointed out earlier in the show, you've got for sure at least one game left. You would imagine Auburn would beat a 15 seed. You'd imagine Auburn would be good enough to beat that. They're too talented. But there's no guarantees after that, I don't think, when you look at the bracket. There's no guarantees because you just don't know what Auburn team you're going to get. It's reached that point, which is absolutely wild. And Ed talking about what ifs, it's so true. And I hope we're not asking what ifs. I hope that Auburn can go deep in the tournament and folks can get enjoyment out of it. But this may end up us all wondering what if. And I'm going to be real, next year, and I don't want to turn the page to next year. I'm not ready to move on to that yet. But newsflash, you're losing two really important players, and all you're left with is this backcourt. Think about that for a second. What you're left with for next year on the roster. And granted, Auburn's got two guards coming in right now. I've been asked about this a couple of times for people off air. You know, what's it look like next year as far as scholarships are concerned and openings? They're going to be able to hit the transfer portal for like one player. That's it. Unless somebody leaves. because you're losing Jabari and Kessler. Those two scholarships are filled by the two guards coming in, Trey Donaldson and Chance Westry. After that, you're losing Preston Cook, who was on scholarship. You got one spot, unless somebody leaves or somebody else goes pro that should not be going pro, because none of the other players on this team are capable of going to the NBA right now. Not even close. They are so far from being an NBA basketball player right now. They're just not exhibiting those types of qualities at the moment. And so they're going to be able to go and get one player that maybe can change things. Maybe you can convince a guy to come play here that's a big-time player somewhere that decides that they want to go and, you know, get a change of scenery or something like that. But the reality is the driving force for this basketball team next year are these guards. Are you ready for that? Because they're going to have to do some massive improving right now. And I think they've got the room to improve tremendously. But the reality is Auburn's going to be a backcourt-driven team next year. And is this backcourt good enough for this to be a shadow of a doubt that they're going to be a tournament team next year? It's going to be a massive step. I think it's going to be a big step back for next year's roster as far as the talent is concerned. And you would imagine so. That's not some beholden statement. I'm just saying, imagine how disappointing it would be if Auburn loses in the second round of the NCAA tournament, and then we go to next year, and it's like Auburn struggles to win 20 games, and they look like Alabama did this year. But that could be what we're going towards right now. Granted, Alabama's going to be a top seven seed in the NCAA tournament, but still, that's the reality of the situation right now with Auburn basketball. So that's why you want to see Auburn go so deep, because Auburn's just not going to reload this level of talent again. And so you want to see them realize that, and it just seems like it's all slipping away, and that they don't even know how to – it's like – they come into it and they're like, well, there's going to be a tomorrow. There's not. Now there is no guarantee of a tomorrow. Your hopes of playing again are squarely in your hands. And the reality is, are you going to be making shots? Are you going to be making shots? Are you going to be turning the basketball over? Are you going to be doing the right things? That's the question. So I hope that this Auburn team can turn it around a bit from a talent perspective. But right now it's tough times at the moment. 67-62 loss for Auburn to Texas A&M. Some other headlines here as we are in the first segment of hour number two for making headlines. Another headline here, Tom Crean let go of by Georgia. This is an interesting situation to look at right now with Georgia basketball, because Georgia's at the lowest that I think that we have seen their program at in some time, and I'm going to come back to this later and talk about this later on in the show, so I don't want to get into this too much right now. But Georgia basketball in a very difficult situation right now. I went up and down the SEC standings to look at how many teams have seen some success or have invested into basketball. And Georgia's like one of two teams that hasn't seen like real success in the SEC since they brought in Tom Crean over the last four or five seasons. Look at everybody else. Everybody's having some form of success. Even teams like South Carolina have been to a Final Four since 2017. Georgia's coming into the most – this is an absolute brutal time for Georgia to be rebuilding their basketball program. It's as deep as the league has ever been, and other programs are really, really heating up, especially Auburn from a recruiting standpoint in their own backyard. How are you going to be able to get kids to come and play at Georgia? Because that's what they need. They need recruits. So that's kind of the reality of it right now. Got about – couple minutes here before we go back to break. We're going to take a look at the scoreboard right now going on in the SEC men's college basketball scoreboard, looking at Auburn's loss to Texas A&M currently right now in the second half. Number 15 Arkansas up on LSU 47-33. That's the 5-4 matchup right now. Arkansas are out to an 18-7 run to open up the second half on LSU over the first 8 minutes. Now an 18-8 run. LSU's got it down to a 13-point game. Iowa looks like they've all but closed it out against Rutgers, 79-64, with under 3 minutes left to go in that game. I would imagine that will end things. I imagine that's out of reach for Rutgers right now. In the A-10 tournament, we got a close one. St. Louis and St. Bonaventure, 49-48. Out of the Conference USA semifinals, UAB extending their lead out on Middle Tennessee in the second half. It's 44-38. Would love to see UAB in the NCAA tournament. They'll advance to play Louisiana Tech in the championship if they win. Louisiana Tech was one of the lower seeds in the Conference USA. They won 42-36 over North Texas earlier today. Gross. bad basketball game there between those two teams to only score 42 points in the other, and they won. They won and they scored 42 points. That should not be a thing. Indiana had the big result of the day, beating Illinois 65-63. That more than likely is everything that Indiana needs to make it into the NCAA tournament. Houston overcame a halftime deficit to Cincinnati to win 69-56 and keep going in the American Athletic Conference Championship. And Davidson advances to the semifinals of the A-10 tournament, beating Fordham 74-56. I believe they will play the winner of St. Louis and St. Bonaventure. But once again, I go back to it's about avoiding bid stealers for teams on the bubble right now. The A-10 is something to look out at because right now the bubble, there's only one team in for the A-10. Only one team is in the field out of the A-10 right now. If somebody else wins the A-10 championship, that's a bit stolen off the bubble because I think Davidson's still going to make the NCAA tournament regardless of whether or not they win the Atlantic 10 Conference. Let's take a quick break here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Minutes into the Friday edition of On the Line. Noah Gardner with you in the studio. We're going to remind everybody, we're taking your calls during the commercial breaks, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-327-5502. If you want to call in, we're giving away a pair of baseball tickets. One more pair to go here on the Friday edition of On the Line, and you got about 30 minutes to call in if you want them, and they're here available, but the way that you win them, you've got to call in. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-327-5502. Ed won earlier. He won a pair of tickets earlier today, and we'd love to give away another one. We've got one right here to Auburn, Middle Tennessee State, Sunday game, 2 p.m. If you're interested, once again, call in during the commercial break, 334-321-1390. Want to talk a little bit about Georgia firing Tom Crean and what this means for the Georgia men's basketball program moving forward and how they will look to rebuild their basketball program with, honestly, not a lot to work with right now. Tom Crean let go. 24/7 Sports put out an odds list for people and potential candidates set to replace Tom Crean. So we'll go through some of that list, but I do want to examine, before I get to that list, the state of Georgia basketball right now. And I want to point something out about why it is so brutal at this point to be rebuilding a basketball program at this time in the SEC. I want to go up and down the SEC standings and show you how many teams recently have invested into basketball and then look at how that is correlated to success in the league for a vast amount of teams. Auburn hires Bruce Pearl a little bit under a decade ago. Can you believe that? 7 or 8 years that he's been at the helm now of the Auburn Tigers. They've been to a Final Four. They've won 3 championships. This team, they've seen success. They were a potential 1 seed this year. They're going to be a 2 seed this season. Won the regular season championship this year. Enough said, right? Auburn, it's worked out with Auburn investing in basketball with Bruce Pearl. Kentucky's always been a basketball school. They are always going to be great. So that's a given. That's another great basketball program. Tennessee with Rick Barnes invested a lot there in a great coach that has had a lot of success in his time. And they, too, have had some deep tournament runs, have seen some success. They're a perennial top 25 team. Most years, they're a perennial top 20, top 15 team. They've been in the top of the SEC in recent memory. They've even won a regular season championship with them back in 2018, shared with Auburn. So just saying, Tennessee obviously is another one of those teams that has seen that success. Arkansas over the last 3 years with Eric Musselman coming to Fayetteville. He's got Arkansas right now looking sneaky, sneaky, sneaky in this year's NCAA tournament. Obviously, they went to an Elite Eight last year. Eric Musselman rebuilding and reloading every year at Arkansas. They've seen a lot of success. LSU with Will Wade. I know there's all the nonsense that has circulated around the LSU program and all of those violations and whatnot, but you can't tell me that they have not seen significant benefits with Will Wade at the helm as opposed to their previous coaches. Texas A&M, Buzz Williams, another big name in the coaching community, has them in an NCAA tournament this year. I'm confident that they're going to make the field, and if they don't, they got robbed. Buzz Williams is clearly rebuilding the Texas A&M program for where they were at 2 or 3 years ago. Alabama with Nate Oates took them to an Elite Eight last year. They're still going to make the tournament this year, so back-to-back tournament appearances. They've got them as a top 3 recruiting class. Don't tell me that that hasn't worked out for Alabama either compared to what was going on with Avery Johnson. Florida is consistently They're one of the most consistent basketball programs in the SEC. They're going to miss the NCAA tournament this year. Mike White has had his fair share of issues, but he has at least had this team perennially around a 19 to 20 win team. They've been a good basketball team. They've been a good basketball program. They weathered the storm this year after losing several players to the transfer portal. Mike White definitely isn't Billy Donovan, but they've still had some success. South Carolina with Frank Martin. Now, he's the longest tenured coach, I believe, currently in the SEC, aside from John Calipari. You look at South Carolina, they went to a Final Four in 2017. Now, that may be their own. They may not have been back to the tournament since then, but they were on the verge of it this year, 18-13. I don't think they were that far away. Maybe two or three more wins. That's a team that's in the NCAA tournament. But needless to say, South Carolina is repeatedly above 500, which is not a place that they were at when Frank Martin came to South Carolina. Mississippi State with Ben Howland, a coach that has been to a national championship before when he was at UCLA. There's an extensive history there. Pittsburgh, UCLA, teams like that. He's had success now at Mississippi State. He's gotten them into a tournament. Mississippi State also, like South Carolina, perennially, every single year. This is a team that's going to be above 500, also in the hunt for the NCAA tournament spot. These guys aren't going anywhere. Vanderbilt, I have a lot of respect for Jerry Stackhouse. Vanderbilt's playing with more academic requirements, more restrictions than anybody else in the league until LSU gets hammered by the NCAA. From a recruiting standpoint, Vanderbilt right now has their hands tied more than anybody else, and Jerry Stackhouse still has found a way to get them into the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. They're 17-15 overall. Jerry Stackhouse is a good basketball coach. Now, is Vanderbilt ever going to be, you know, just going to the NCAA tournament every year? Probably not, but he's got them heading in the right direction. They're a difficult team to beat. They're a difficult team to play, and they expect to win basketball games. Missouri is 1 year removed from making the NCAA tournament with Konzo Martin, and he's definitely on a cycle. I've been critical of Konzo Martin. I don't think he's an incredible coach or anything like that, but I think he's good enough. He's going to have you in the NCAA tournament once every three or four seasons. Missouri's okay with that, clearly. I imagine he'll survive coming out of this year. I know it's a 12-21 season. I doubt they'll let him go. Let's see what he does next year. But Missouri, I have just gone through 12 teams in the SEC, or 11 teams in the SEC, before I got to somebody where you're like, maybe it's not fully working out for that guy, right? You also look at Ole Miss. Kermit Davis had some success early on. They're trending in a negative direction, but there was at least some success there. And then you also talk about Georgia. Now we get to Georgia. You're at 14th in the SEC. The last time they went to an NCAA tournament was with Mark Fox. Tom Crean has been absolutely disastrous for Georgia. You get to Georgia, they are the last team in the SEC that has not seen any type of success over the last 4 years in basketball. Their best season under Tom Crean was a 500 season with an actually pretty good recruiting class, had Anthony Edwards, right? This is an absolutely brutal time to have to rebuild a basketball program in the Southeastern Conference because everybody else has invested so much into basketball, and Georgia is behind the eight ball right now. Georgia is behind the times. And I'm going to get into recruiting in a little bit. We're about to have to go to break, and I'll keep talking about this, and I'll talk about potential candidates for Georgia. But the reality is Georgia is in the cellar right now in the SEC, and it's going to be quite the task to get out of it. You got teams pilfering recruits, pillaging your village and your backyard in Atlanta. You're not even recruiting your state better than many of the teams in your own league. Like Auburn recruits Georgia better than Georgia does, better than Georgia Tech does. I just don't know how they're going to rebuild this thing. We'll talk about what that attempt looks like and who a potential replacement for Tom Crean may be. But it's not looking good for Georgia basketball. Tom Crean has definitely left them in a worse place than when he found them. Minutes into the Friday edition of On the Line. Noah Gardner with you on the show. Just me in the studio today, giving away a pair of baseball tickets to Auburn, Middle Tennessee State. Sunday game, 2 p.m. If you want to win these tickets, all you got to do is call in. During the commercial breaks, though, I'm the lone man, one-man band in the studio today. We want to hear from you, though. 334-321-1390. We've talked a lot about Auburn losing to Texas A&M in the SEC tournament today, 67-62. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to talk about this team and to see them squander what is an incredible opportunity, and they may have entirely peaked too early. I said a couple of weeks ago that I wouldn't start being concerned with this basketball team until I saw them in SEC tournament play and how they looked, and Auburn looked awful today. I don't think Auburn – I mean, your guards cannot go 4-for-31 outside of Wendell Green. And Wendell Green would have just had you at 19 – or, excuse me, would have just had you at 9-for-42. Your guards can't do that. Your backcourt cannot do that. That will lose you a game in March. Auburn's guards, I don't think, are good enough to win a national championship. And I think today, if it took you this long to get to that point, and granted, you may still be living in denial, but if it took you this long to get to this point, the way that Auburn's guards have played the last month and a half are not good enough to win a national championship. They're just not. And the stark thing talked about on the SEC Network broadcast today, Jimmy Dykes brought this up from ESPN Stats and Information Department. No team has won a national championship since 1985 that didn't at least advance to the semifinals of their conference tournament. Now, I haven't had time to go and fact check that because I've been on the air right after the game ended, but I'm just saying, if that indeed is, I'm sure that's true because ESPN is very good at what they do in terms of their stats and information department. That being true, I mean, that makes sense considering most teams have to be, if you're going to win a national championship, you got to be playing your best basketball at the end of the year. And if you can't even make it to the semifinals of your conference tournament, especially when you're a one seed, then you're probably not playing your best basketball at that time of year. So that's been kind of the look at Auburn. Before we get out of here today, we'll talk a little bit about some SEC baseball in our last segment of the show, get you set for this weekend and what's going on in the conference. But I'm going to continue on in my conversation about Georgia basketball and the direction that they may be going to rebuild their program. We've got an article here from 24/7 Sports that was put out about odds on the candidates to replace Crean at Georgia. And I talked in the last segment about how difficult. I set the stage for how difficult a rebuild this is going to be for Georgia. This is so much more difficult of a rebuild than when Tom Crean came in. And Tom Crean's tenure there made it more difficult, but also it's more difficult because the SEC has gotten tougher over the last four seasons that Tom Crean has been there. So now some coaches coming into this job with Georgia basketball, maybe at its lowest point ever, just had the worst season in SEC history. That's not hyperbole. That is statistical fact. They lost more games than anybody else has in SEC history in a single season. So now they're coming into this year at a lower point than where Tom Crean picked them up, and the league is tougher. And everybody's invested a lot into basketball, whereas Georgia's trying to figure out how do we recruit, and all they can go and tell a kid's going to ask, didn't you guys go 6-26 last year? It's like, nobody wants to go and play for that. And you're going to have a hard time getting guys in the transfer portal, or at least good players, really good players in the transfer portal, to want to go and play for somebody that went 6-26 when they could go next door and play for Auburn, who's 27-5 this year, or go and play at Alabama and play a really attractive brand of basketball. This is an incredible uphill battle. And so it begs the question, what coaches are actually legitimate options for Georgia to replace Tom Crean with? And we're going to go down some of this list here, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do process of elimination. The goal here is to take out candidates before we get to the ones and to show you who I do think are the legitimate options. So we're going to go through process of elimination with this list. And I'm going to start with guys that I don't think are legitimate candidates for this position. Matt McMahon, Murray State head coach, third conference tournament title under his watch, just led him to that point. This is a top 25 team right now. Went 30-2 prior to the NCAA tournament this year. He's 153-66 in his career with the team. This has been his only head coaching job at Murray State. This is his only stop. He's been incredibly successful at Murray State. Coach John Morant, he's been having a blast there. He is a coach. Matt McMahon represents the type of coach that is at a mid-major institution that is experiencing a lot of success. Success to the point where he may be able to win a couple of games in the NCAA tournament if he gets the right kind of bracket. Could make a Sweet 16 this year. I really do think so, if this team gets the right kind of bracket. Maybe it's just a cup of tea in the NCAA tournament. Regardless, nobody is holding Murray State to the standard that they should win a couple of games in the NCAA tournament. They're just holding them to the standard that they should make the NCAA tournament on a regular basis. But this guy has Murray State at one point this year as a top 20 basketball team. Why would Matt McMahon, when you would think that he's going to be a candidate for other spots, right? Louisville's got an opening. Kansas State has an opening. Maryland has an opening. Other places are going to open up. Georgia is going to be the lowest on the Power 5 job, on the Power 5 job scale. Georgia is going to be at the lowest of that rung. They're going to be on the lowest rung on the Power 5 job opening scale this year. And I just have a hard time believing that a coach like Matt McMahon, And I'm using Matt McMahon in the representative stance here. I mean, yes, I mean him specifically, but I mean somebody like Matt McMahon, a mid-major coach experienced a lot of success that is looking to make their first step up to their Power 5 coaching jobs, their Power 5 coaching, you know, leap. They're trying to take that next step. I have a hard time believing that Matt McMahon would take a shot at a program that is as low as Georgia right now and potentially ruin that and have to take a step back to the mid-major ranks to a place that is going to be in a worse position than Murray State or a worse position than where they're at right now and what they've got going. If you're going to leave, you need to go to a place that's going to help you succeed, that is going to be that you are going to be able to rebuild. Right now, I don't believe in Georgia being able to rebuild to a point where you're going to have a long tenure there, right? And now joining me on the show, back from Auburn High Baseball, been on the air a lot today, man. My day-to-day co-host, Jacob Goins, with me, man. I'm glad that you're coming to tap out and give me a breather.
Heck yeah, man. I'm sure you've held it down nicely in the hour and a half you've been doing
I'm running out of gas, man. I'm not going to lie. Dying in here.
Hey, that's all right, man. It's Friday. It's the last 30 minutes of the show. You're allowed to be on your last win, but that's okay. You're talking about Georgia's head coaching vacancy.
Yeah, Tom Crean. I'm going up and down this odds list on 24/7 Sports and doing process of elimination to say – to eventually get to the candidate that I believe, and I already have that in my mind. I'm just taking people through my thought process to get people to the type of candidate that I think is actually at play for Georgia. And it's not, and I don't think it's best case scenario for this team.
Well, I haven't seen that list yet, so you can give it to me in just a second. But we talked about it yesterday, and I mean, it's going to be hard for anybody to want to go to Georgia. You've got to be dedicated to wanting to prove yourself that you're a good coach if you're trying to go to Georgia
right
now.
But it's a potential pitfall, though. Like I was talking about with Matt McMahon at Murray State, why would you leave Murray State to go to Georgia where you have a high degree of it's a high challenge location, and if you and I think there's a high opportunity to fail, and if you fail, you're going to go to a place that is lower than Murray State and is not as established and is not as running as smoothly as Murray State. I just don't think this is the job that you leap to.
That's a one step forward, two steps back type of scenario. You're 100% right, especially when you have so much success at Murray State and your expectations are not as high as what they might be at Georgia. I know Georgia basketball doesn't have national championship every year expectations, but you are a Division I program in the SEC, a power conference in college basketball, and not only just that, you're going to the worst spot in the SEC right now. You're going to the worst team in the conference. They just had the worst season in SEC history, and no matter what the name is or who it is, you have got to have the mentality of, I'm trying to prove myself to be the next good thing in college basketball if you're wanting to take a chance at Georgia. Either that or you're chasing the money. You know?
Like, wouldn't you rather go to Kansas State? Wouldn't you rather go to Maryland or Louisville, right?
Louisville, for sure.
And you would love to go to those places. And I say that, like, wouldn't you love to? Like, they had a choice. You know, those schools obviously have to offer you. But eventually somebody will take a shot on a Matt McMahon, right? And I think the other coach that you've pointed out, right, would be Andy Kennedy. That's the other coach that you've pointed out in the past, and I think he fits into that category of Matt McMahon. Now, I know Andy Kennedy has been in the SEC. He was at Ole Miss. I know he's been at a bigger location than UAB, but I paint the same picture. He's at his alma mater. He's doing great with UAB, and by the way, Andy Kennedy is on this list as a potential candidate, and it made sense. That's why you thought of it. It makes sense, right? But the reality is he's having a great time at UAB right now, I'm sure. It's his alma mater. He's having extreme success. If the results are holding right now in the Conference USA semifinal, he's going to be in the Conference USA championship game, looking to punch his ticket to an NCAA tournament. He's going to be a 20-plus win team every year at UAB. Why would you make your return to a Power 5 coaching job when there's already real respect for you there? There's respect for Andy Kennedy and what he did at Ole Miss. It just got stale by the end, right? Why would you make your return to Power 5 coaching to a place, once again, where you said it's one step forward, two steps back?
Well, and going to Georgia from UAB for Andy Kennedy, at this point in time, it would be a step back. He has everything he wants at UAB, everything he could ask for at UAB.
UAB would thump Georgia right now. Did they play this year? I feel like those two teams played. I need to look that up.
You may be thinking of football, but I think
they did play in football, and Georgia thumped them.
Yes, they did. But I think UAB basketball would put it on Georgia. And that's the thing, man. It's tough for anybody to take the Georgia job right now unless, A, you're just trying to prove yourself, or B, you're chasing money.
They played South Carolina and lost by 3. Just saying.
And South Carolina's decent. I mean, they were the 7th seed in the SEC
tournament. They played West Virginia also, lost by 6.
UAB's good, man.
They are.
Remember
good
when Auburn
team.
Played them a couple years ago at the BJCC in Birmingham? That was before UAB got good.
Another potential tournament team played San Francisco, lost by two.
So, I mean, they've hung in there with teams that are
no
somewhat
great wins,
legit.
No great wins, but they have hung in there with Power 5 teams.
Yeah, so I have not seen that list that you're talking about of the potential Georgia coaches. Give me like the top 5 or 6.
I don't want to do it that way. I want to eliminate them as I go along. I've gone through the representative of the guy who's looking to take a leap back to the Power 5 or for the first time to the Power 5. Now let's look at like guys who are established or maybe things are going stale. They've got Frank Martin on this list. They've got Ben Howland on this list, and they've got, believe it or not, and I think this is absolutely ridiculous, no shot, Ed Cooley from Providence. Go ahead, laugh. I just laugh.
No.
Okay, just laugh at that. No way. No way Ed Cooley leaves Providence to go to Georgia.
None of those guys would be taking a step up. That's the
problem. No, it's a colossal step down. And granted, you look at Ben Howland right now and Frank Martin, and I really hope South Carolina doesn't do something irrational or hasty with Frank Martin because some people are getting a little impatient with South Carolina, but I'm like, oh, how quick you have forgotten what South Carolina basketball was before he got there and what he's taken them to. And they've got a really young core. I'm just saying, let's paint the picture that this category of coach that I'm getting into is somebody at a Power 5 job or you know, an upper-level mid-major. Maybe things have gotten stale. They've been there for a while. They're good coaches, Ben Howland and Frank Martin. They've been at major institutions. And things have gotten stale. Maybe the relationship with their university, things are a little tight, and they just want to go take a step somewhere else. But they've had success rebuilding schools like Georgia in the past. I still don't think that's going to happen because of everything that you said. Why would Ben Howland and Frank Martin go to Georgia to potentially ruin their coaching career? Why, you know, and those are two coaches that I think are towards the end of their head coaching career, Frank Martin and Ben Howland. They've been in the game for a while. Do you really want Georgia to be your last stop? No, I think the place that they're at right now very well could be their last stop.
And I just don't see anybody, and this is nothing against any coach that takes the job. I think it's just the state of the program that Georgia's in right now. I don't see anybody being able to rebuild Georgia in a decent amount of time because of everything else that's going on around them in the SEC, and not just in the SEC, in their own area. I mean, they can't even recruit in their own state anymore because Auburn and Florida have gone in there and just swiped up everybody for basketball. And Georgia's the worst team in the SEC. Again, they just had the worst season ever in SEC conference basketball history. I don't see how you go there and rebuild this program. It's going to be a slow rolling process for Georgia to become anything relevant in the SEC again. And if you're asking my honest opinion, I have no idea who they're going to go after. It could be somebody that is just from the, you know, from the woodworks, right, from right field, that we have no idea who he is.
Well, I think the direction that they're going to go, and we've eliminated coaches that are having success in the mid-major ranks, like high levels of success have been established in
Absolutely.
The mid-major ranks. We have eliminated the teams that are around them that are like Ben Howland or Frank Martin, guys that have been in the game for a long time, but maybe they just kind of have middling success. They're a little stale right now. Now you get to the area of coaches that are in that category that have never been a head coach before or at a small conference.
Or somebody from within, possibly. I mean, an assistant coach from within the program that's been an assistant for a while at Georgia, or like you said, somebody at a small school that's been an assistant coach that's never been a head coach. I'm not saying this name because I think it is the possibility, but this type of example, a Stephen Pearl-esque type of person to go and coach at Georgia. I'm not saying Stephen Pearl. I'm saying
there's no way he would leave Auburn to go to Georgia.
But somebody like him who's been an assistant coach under a successful head coach for a long time and wants their first shot at being a Division I head coach, I mean, why not? I mean, your expectations are pretty low when it comes to being a first-time head coach at the University of Georgia basketball. That wouldn't be a horrible first-time
job. So here is the favorite, according to CBS Sportsline, and this is why I took this process to tell you why these guys are the favorites and to show you the thought process of why Georgia is not going to be able to get some of these other coaches, I don't think. Jonas Hayes, you've probably never heard of this individual, and that's not a knock on him. It's just because he's not a head coach right now. He's never been a head coach. He's a Georgia alum, and he's the current associate head coach at Xavier. Never been a head coach before. According to this 24/7 Sports article, he got a positive endorsement from former Bulldog point guard J.J. Frazier probably the last, probably was a part of the last successful Georgia basketball team. And man, I loved watching J.J. Frazier. I thought he was excellent. But I think, you know, and he described him as a great recruiter and a great leader, a great dude, right? So I think that's probably the direction that they'll look. That may end up being one of their top candidates down the line. But once again, you look at the picture that I'm painting, you're going to get somebody that has no experience being a head coach. You're going to get somebody that is either Jonas Hayes or, in this case, a small conference coach like a Dennis Gates, who is also on this list, that is also one of the favorites. He is he's tied for second on the odds right now. He is from Cleveland State. He's the current head coach at Cleveland State, who just claimed the Horizon Conference regular season title, 20-10 overall. I don't think they won the conference tournament. They went to the NCAA tournament last year, but I don't think they won the conference tournament this year, so they will not be in the NCAA tournament this year. Granted, once again, that's a hard expectation to small conference schools. Reality is he's had some success at Cleveland State. That's a very small school. This is quite the leap to Georgia, and are you able to rebuild an SEC program? So I'm painting the picture. I think not saying that these two coaches couldn't be successful, not saying that they aren't good coaches. I'm just saying the degree of difficulty coupled with the type of candidate that they're going to be able to attract right now, the situation's really, really tough for Georgia right now.
It's extremely tough. And like I said, whoever you said the favorite was, the assistant coach at Xavier.
Jonas Hayes.
That's exactly what I talked about with Stephen Pearl. Not Stephen Pearl going, a Stephen Pearl-esque type person to go. He's been an assistant coach under Xavier, or at Xavier, and they've had some successful seasons. They've gone to the NCAA tournament quite a few times in the past few years. And it may take somebody like that to go down there and just give it a shot. And again, Georgia's expectations are not extremely high. They want to win and be successful, but they're not expecting deep tournament runs every single season like the other half of the SEC is right now. Let's take a short break here on the line. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show on Friday. You're listening to On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goetz, Noah Gardner with you today on the Friday edition of the show. I'm back for the last 20 minutes of the show. I am here. I called Auburn High Baseball earlier today. I'm back for the final segment of the show. And Noah, I was just asking you about it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm sure you already have.
You've got to.
It's the elephant in the room, I guess. Auburn, they lost to Texas A&M.
That's pertinent that you say elephant in the room because I half expected them to take off the mask of all of Auburn's coaching staff and Auburn's players and reveal that it was actually the Alabama Crimson Tide that played today.
Horrible.
Because you know how many threes that were shot today by Auburn? I'm just going to tell you how many they missed. They missed 27 and still hit 9. So do the math. They shot 36 threes. They missed 27 threes, Jacob. How do you miss 27 threes?
You play like Alabama, I guess. I was calling Auburn High Baseball over on our sister station 96.3 W. Lee, and I have not looked at any stats. I saw the final score. I watched the first, 15 minutes?
Guards outside of Wendell Green went a combined 4-for-31. Wendell's stat line, I think, is deceiving because he started hitting shots with 6 minutes left in the game. Combined total, the entire backcourt, anybody that's a guard, Devin Cambridge is included in this, 9-of-42 from the floor.
Oh. That's horrible. I mean, that's bad.
That's really bad. The reason why Auburn lost. KD Johnson set a record today for most misses without a make in SEC history.
With how many?
14. 0-for-14.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's
I don't know if that was SEC tournament history or what, but they threw that up on the broadcast.
Well, I mean, I watched the first 15 minutes before I had to go over to Auburn High, and I mean, they just kept shooting and shooting and shooting. And I asked you, what was the question? I said, do you think Bruce is going to tell him to quit shooting or if he's going to let him go?
And what did I say? I said, nah. Not a chance.
So he just let him go, huh? That's wild, man. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. And I'll go back and watch the rest of the game this evening and break it down.
You know what's most concerning about this? And pay attention to this when you watch. The looks on the players' faces was literally like, what's happening right now?
And I'm
like,
sure
it was legit like concerned that they didn't know how to fix what was going on. Like they literally did not. You watch their faces. They literally did not understand like why this isn't working. Like why they can't score. Why the ball won't go in the bucket. That's concerning. I'm with you now, man. I told you. Remember, I said I was going to wait until the SEC tournament.
Well, here we are, man.
This is the worst performance of the year, in my opinion.
And it ain't looking good.
I'm telling you, there's real question about whether or not this is a Sweet 16 team, because I'm telling you, they're not playing like one right now. It's that bad.
They haven't been either, and I've waited, and I've tried, and I've waited to hold out and give this Auburn team some credit. And again, I'll go back and watch film, but this loss against Texas A&M in your first game of the SEC tournament, it ain't looking good for the NCAA tournament next week. That's it. Let's get out of here. This is the end of the Friday edition of On the Line. We'll be back next week on Monday. We'll talk to you later. See ya.